Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
16 minutes after 7. As I've been saying to you guys this morning, we do have a special guest with us here this morning, and he joins us at a time when this discussion probably becomes more pertinent than ever. Let's welcome to our program for the very first time PCA Director David West. Mr. West, good morning to you and welcome. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning to you and season's greetings to you and your listeners and viewers. It's a pleasure to be here for the first time.
It's definitely a pleasure having you here. The Police Complaints Authority has become an organization that we've had lots of discussions about as a nation. And the PCA has grown very much from where it started to where it is today in the realm of our national security and dealing with several things. But before we get into some of the nitty-gritty, I think we should set the stage so that people understand exactly the role and function of the PCA and its jurisdiction. So let's begin there by you telling us the mandate of the Police Complaints Authority.
Right, okay. So the PCA is an independent civilian oversight body, and we oversee the activities of the police in Trinidad and Tobago. And police includes the TTPS, that's the regular police, the SRPs, Special Reserve Police Officers, and the Municipal Police Officers. So we have jurisdiction over those officers. And we look into complaints involving criminal offenses involving those officers, police corruption, and serious police misconduct. Now, serious police misconduct is defined in the Police Service Regulations Section 150. Okay, and those are, for example, discreditable conduct, oppressive conduct, disobedience to orders, neglect of duty, falsehood or provocation, breach of confidence, corrupt practice, unlawful or unnecessary exercise of authority, just to name a few of what we call serious police misconduct.
Now that's a very wide scope, and that's just a bit, the tip of the iceberg,
yes,
of what the PCA can look into. How does the PCA begin an investigation? What is the process to get investigations underway at the PCA? Does somebody have to make a report? Can the PCA take on its own volition these matters?
Right. So to answer your question, the PCA can, on its own volition, take on a complaint. That is what we normally do, is we get complaints, we look at the newspapers, social media, etc., to see what's going on. We have a communications department, and then once our incident falls within a criminal offense, police corruption, or serious police misconduct, we then initiate an investigation. An investigation can also be initiated by somebody writing into the PCA, letting us know what's going on. They can do that via info@pca.org.tt. They can do it via our website, which is www.pca.org.tt. And about a few years ago, we developed an app where you can download the app on your iOS or Android phone. You just plug in Police Complaints Authority Trinidad and Tobago, and you can download the app for free. And this app has been very useful, and it is becoming more popular, especially with the young people, where, you know, you don't have to come into Port of Spain or go to Tobago, where we have our other office, and you can make your report from home, and you can attach videos, you can attach statements, and you can, you can actually film what is going on. And those methods have increased the, as you say, I guess, the popularity of the PCA and the access to PCA. So the civilians have an access to getting their complaint heard via social media, by writing in, or by coming into the PCA.
The next question basically is, the PCA gets a report or initiates an investigation.
Right. What happens next?
Yeah, well, what is the jurisdiction? What can the PCA really do? What does the PCA do at the end of an investigation?
Okay. Right. So let me just take you through the process, right? So you understand, and your viewers will understand how transparent and detailed our investigation process is. So once a person comes in personally or physically to the PCA, and we're at level 24 Tower D by the Hyatt, Ryson Road, they go to one of our complaints officers. So the the WhatsApp message or the email will go to the complaints officer. They will then look at that initially and determine whether or not it falls within, as I said, whether it's a criminal offense, police corruption, or serious police misconduct.
Mm-hmm.
Once that happens, it will then be checked by one of our legal departments. And once it is valid as a valid complaint, we then take it on board and it goes to the legal department. From there, they then assign to the investigators that you're looking at a police-involved shooting, larceny, rape for criminal offenses, for example, or discreditable conduct, neglect of duty for a disciplinary matter. That then goes to our investigators who go out on the field and go and investigate the matter. They take statements, they look for video evidence. They do all the investigations that they can do. They then do a report to their legal office, the team lead, who then sends it across to the legal department to vet and make sure that it falls within the ambit of what they were looking at. So it is checked to make sure that the evidence that they have gathered can make out an evidence for larceny against the police officer. They look for the evidence that can make out a case for discreditable conduct. And then that, once that has happened, then the officer is then written to and given an opportunity to respond to the allegation. Of course, you know, it is entirely up to him. He does not have to respond, or he can respond. Whatever happens, the legal department then looks at the overall case and determines whether or not the case has been made out. That then is sent to either the deputy director or myself for final viewing to determine that we agree with what has happened, and maybe they may have missed a step, so we may have done something else. If not, we send it back for further work, or we approve the recommendation made by the officer, by the legal department, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens now is that a recommendation is then made to the DPP if the criminal offense has been made out, or to the Commissioner of Police if a disciplinary offense has been made out. And then once that happens, they then go ahead and deal with the matter as they deem fit. Now, as I can tell you, for this calendar year, from January to December 15th, we received over 700 initial reports. Now, an initial report is a report initially made to the PCA. That initial report can then be converted into a complaint if it satisfies the criteria I've outlined before. And then for the calendar, and then for the reporting period, which runs from October 1st, 2021 to September 30th, 2022, we had over 1,000 initial reports coming to the PCA, which was a record for the amount of complaints or initial reports made to the PCA. So your initial salvo was correct in that we have become more popular, more of a household name. I think people are beginning to understand exactly what we do and have the confidence to come into the PCA and make a report against a police officer they feel that they have been wronged against.
I know for some time in this country there was a discussion about whether or not citizens have any form of recourse when they believe that police officers or a police officer has done something that was outside of the officer's jurisdiction and power to do so. And when we had the George Floyd matter in the United States, it raised awareness across the globe. Here at home, we had our protests and all those things. And there's greater scrutiny now on the actions of police officers and some of the things that police officers have done. We've had some very, very public cases on which people call police, the public call on the Police Complaints Authority. I think we had one recently in Belmont as well. And the PCA has stated that they're getting involved in that. Over 1,000
yes.
initial reports within your reporting year. Out of that 1,000 reports, how many of those have been dealt with to the point where there's some sort of ruling on the matter? How many have been brought to a close?
Well, let me just take a step back and let me explain that once the recommendation is made to the DPP or COP,
mm-hmm.
Well, the COP then, he then sets up a tribunal to hear the matter because that is what his jurisdiction is under the law, under the Police Service Act. That's what he does. And then the DPP refers the matter to the police to investigate and determine whether or not a charge should be laid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our remit or our jurisdiction stops with making a recommendation. Section 48 says we make a recommendation if we believe a case has been made out to the COP and DPP. So from January to December 15th this year, we made 43 recommendations to the Commissioner of Police, 17 recommendations to the DPP and 8 recommendations to both the COP and DPP. Now, most of the recommendations, for example, in the criminal offenses are like murder, misbehavior in public office, and shooting with intent. And for the disciplinary matters that we send to the Commissioner of Police, it's discreditable conduct, neglect of duty, unlawful or unnecessary exercise of authority are the main ones that we tend to find we send in or we're making recommendations for. Now, we have recently in the legislation, okay, and this only happened in 2020, 2021, where it went to Parliament, that within 3 months, now we did not have this before, but we have it now, that within 3 months of making a recommendation, the PCA is entitled to receive written feedback from the Commissioner of Police, the Police Service Commission, the Assistant Commissioner for Municipal Police, and the DPP in relation to matters referred to, and can continue to require information thereafter. So now, before, there wasn't any process in which we could ask for, well, we refer this matter to you, what's happening? We can now do that. So we can now get a better feel for how many matters we send to the COP and what has happened with those matters, because we don't really get a feedback what mm-hmm. happens with the matters.
Well, there's a great
outlet. The DPP, mm-hmm. pardon?
No, go ahead.
Regarding the DPP, what we normally tend to find out is that if we look at the papers and we see someone, persons were charged. For example, in the Moruga shooting, is making headlines now because I think the one of the officers who turned state witness wants to get bail, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Moruga 6 want to get bail. So we know now that the matter we dealt with and we referred to the DPP has gone to court. There are other matters that we have referred to, other high-profile matters, for example, the shooting in Rich Plain. That matter, they've been charged, waiting to go to court, you know. The FUL investigation, we also investigated that matter. The Masjid matter, which was aligned to the Rich Plain matter, is also being investigated. The Pennyrise shooting, remember the shooting in South where 4 suspects were shot, that's also been investigated. And the off-duty SRP who was shot outside the grocery, that we're waiting for information to come from abroad with that matter. And the Independence Square shooting, well, that matter is almost finished and it's just up to the deputy director to determine whether or not it goes forward to the DPP.
Mm.
So that's how we get our feedback. We get our feedback from looking at the paper or now, right now, we can now have a legitimate reason to write to the COP or DPP or Assistant Commissioner for the Municipal Police to say what has happened to the matters that we have referred to you.
I think that's a step in the right direction. It's an untenable situation and unprofessional, I think at the greatest, for the PCA to compile all of this work, hand it over, and then not know what's going on and have to read of it like every other person in the newspaper. One would expect the professional courtesies to have been extended to the PCA to say, well, this is what is going to happen or this is what has happened to this matter in an official capacity. Does the PCA have the authority now with these new amendments giving the accountability, for want of a different term, as to, well, this has happened, that has happened, and all these kinds of things, to make some sort of intervention if a matter is taking too long for it to be adjudicated upon? Or is that so solely in the remit of the Commissioner of Police and the DPP?
Well, if a matter is taking too long, to answer your question, it is solely within the remit of the COP or DPP/TPPS, because they investigate the matter.
Right.
But what can happen is that using this amendment, you know, we can keep on asking them what's happening. And then they must give us some kind of valid reason why or what's going on. And normally it is just, you know, the amount of work involved. And they're under pressure also with staff and right. And getting matters done. That it takes quite a while to be investigated.
Okay.
So it is a step in the right direction. And if you remember, the legislation was drafted in 2006, our PCA Act. And whilst I've been here, these are the issues that we have found, or the loopholes we have found in the legislation, which are not that great. So the legislation is basically a very good piece of legislation. It was passed with a 2/3 majority. So therefore, you had support of both Mr. Manning and Mr. Pandey in passing this legislation, which they both realized, and to their credit, that they needed a body with teeth to oversee the police service.
Okay. You spoke to us about the number of cases reported to the PCA within your reporting period, the 12-month period, and you said it was over 1,000. Is this an increase from previous years? And if it is an increase, what do you think contributed to that? Do we have more officers breaking the law or doing things they're not supposed to? Or is it simply a case of more persons turning to the PCA as an avenue to seek redress? Which is it?
Well, there has been an increase in the number of initial reports and complaints coming to the PCA. The reason why, I think it's because we have done a lot of work in terms of outreach. You know, we do outreach both virtually, well, during the COVID, and in person. Well, we used to do in person, but we have turned more to the virtual platform where people are more, it's easier for them to sit at home and listen and participate in the outreach than go to somewhere where we set up to reach, you know.
Mm.
We also have been, you know, involved in training or given an educational lecture to the TTPS graduates at the academy, either before or after they pass out. We are allowed to go in and we just tell them what we do, that we are two independent arms of the justice system, and that we are both looking at where police officers have overstepped their bounds, and they understand that.
Mm.
So I think it is, we are more out there, and I think the public are seeing results. They are seeing that we are doing the best that we can do, and that we are making headways. I mean, with the Rich Plain matter, you know, we came out and we did a, and I must, I, you know, the investigators did a very good job, and we were able to make sure that, you know, there was no cover up in that matter. So we are, I think, gaining the confidence of the public. And the police themselves also realized, you know, initially, you know, what is this PCA about? You know, the civilians are coming to oversee us. But they understand, too, that once they follow proper procedure, at the end of the day, it is better for them to be exonerated by an independent body than by the TTPS themselves.
Mm.
So the police themselves have, come around to understanding what we do and what is our function and purpose in the whole scheme of the justice system.
Okay, I understand that fully, and you can tell, because when you have some of these very high-profile matters, there are questions asked in the public domain as to when is the PCA going to complete its report and what has been the PCA's findings. And the PCA has made pronouncements in quick time as well on some of these very, very, very controversial matters that have garnered public attention. Are people taking advantage of the PCA? Do you all get frivolous reports that waste your time? And if somebody does make a report that is a waste of time or that is a false report to the PCA, are there consequences for that?
Yes, well, under the Act, if you make a false report or a frivolous report, and we do deem it so, there are legal consequences under the Act. Now, I could tell you also, too, that we also have closed quite a number of matters also.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think the police can take heart and the public can take heart in that we don't only make recommendations. We also close a lot of matters. And we close a lot of matters because, for example, the officer is no longer in the service because we could only investigate police officers. We close matters because the complainant himself has decided not to pursue the matter and signs a discontinuance form. Sometimes, too, you know how it's, you know, in Trinidad, we're very small. The officer and the civilian, they make up and they apologize or they understand what went wrong. And they say, okay, well, sorry. And then they come back and say, okay, well, they don't want to pursue that claim or that complaint anymore.
Mm.
So this happens. So there are a lot of matters that are closed, and they're closed for good reasons. And we have to make sure, that is the authority, that is Ms. Solomon Bash and I have to make sure that when we close a matter, it's closed for good reason. It's not closed because the police officer is forced the person to close the matter. We have to make sure that it's a bona fide reason why they want to close the matter. So we take closure of matters just as serious as make a recommendation to the Commissioner of Police or the DPP.
Yeah. You've highlighted several very, very high profile matters, and the the pronouncements made by the PCA in some of those, the quick work and everything else. One of the more controversial issues that you mentioned was the entire FUL scandal, firearm users licenses and those being awarded. We had a raging discussion about it on the program for weeks, and we continue to have it. Most recently, this court matter that barred the Prime Minister from revealing the details, and although it forced the matter to resurface. One of the things that we've not had, maybe I missed it, or if I have, please correct me, is the pronouncements on the allegations that police officers were involved in all of this wrongdoing. We continue to hear that up to today, that there are police officers who are involved, were involved, possibly involved in taking bribes to grant firearm users licenses. And you said that the Police Complaints Authority did look into that matter. Just remind us, did that matter come to finality? What was the findings of the Police Complaints Authority in that regard?
Well, that matter is still under investigation by us, so I cannot comment on what's happened. But I know that at least two police officers have been charged by the TTPS arising out of their investigation.
Mm. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Okay. We need to take a couple of quick messages. When we get back, probably one or two quick phone calls as we continue our discussion here this morning with our very special guest, Director of the Police Complaints Authority. That's Mr. David West right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Stay with us.
Join the chat now on the all-new Freedom on the all-new Talk Radio 106.5.
18 minutes before 8. With us for a bit again, we have him until about 10 to 8 this morning. That is Director of the PCA, Mr. David West. Let's take a couple of your calls quickly. Emphasis on the word quickly. Keep your calls short, your questions brief, so we could probably get in as many as we can. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish. Good morning, Mr. West.
Morning.
Mr. West, you have been the head of that organization for some time. Now, for the sake of argument, right, just assume that I am Santa Claus and I come to you and I say, Mr. West, select two items, whether it be financial input, increases in staff, equipment, whatever it is, select two items that are going to transform your organization significantly into a lean, mean crime-fighting machine. What would those two items be, sir? I thank you.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, Mr.
Well, that's a very good question. I think, I guess, although we are, our budget is a satisfactory budget, okay? We're not strapped for cash like other institutions, etc. An increase in our budget we want to get equipment. More equipment. So we would need more to assist in our investigative matters would be one. And also to increase the complement of staff in terms of, in key areas. And secondly, well, I would say legislation review or reform, but as I said, we just got our amendments in 2021, and I want to see how they're working. For example, and I'll give the caller, we are now in a coroner's inquest. Okay, now, we are now a party to all coroner inquests, matters that we have dealt with, and coroners are calling us for matters that we have not been dealt with, that we have not dealt or investigated, because we can now look into and we can assist the coroner in getting all the information they have to make a determination whether or not they should send to the DPP or there's no natural death.
There's a question.
All right? So what has been happening is, I would say legislative amendments, but I want to see if our amendments are taking place now. It's too soon to determine how our amendments are taking place.
Okay. Somebody sent a message, an interesting one, just before we take another call, asking how high up the ranks can the Police Complaints Authority investigate? And the question is, can the PCA investigate decisions of the Commissioner of Police? For example, if somebody applies for a firearm and is denied, and the person believes that denial is based in something other than process, can they make a complaint to the Police Complaints Authority on that?
Yes, because that would be a criminal offense. So for criminal offenses, we can investigate up to the Commissioner of Police. For disciplinary offenses, we can investigate all ranks except up to the Deputy Commissioner and Commissioner, because that is for the Police Service Commission to investigate. But what we can do is we can refer the matter to the Police Service Commission to have them investigate the Commissioner and Deputy Commissioner with the evidence that we have gathered or the evidence that has been put forward to us.
Let's take another quick call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. West. I'll make it quick. Mr. West,
good morning.
We live in a country today where we pick up on the reading newspaper that there was a shootout with the police. The men were taken to the hospital and pronounced dead. Mr. West, is it normal practice, is it best practice that police officers remove persons and rush them to hospital? Because I think that if we continue this practice, we become a pariah in the world. And lastly, I would ask you this question. We know what the Miranda law is in the United States of America. How does the police officer apply that here in the execution of his duty? And is it sufficient? So I'll listen to your comments.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call, Mr. West.
Right. So your first question has been debated among myself and INDICOM, which is the Jamaican counterpart of the PCA, and other civilian oversight bodies. Should the police get involved in the crime scene, because it is a crime scene if they discharge firearms, and the same officers who do this alleged shooting take the victim to the hospital and he's pronounced dead when he's arrived. But on the same token, if the person is not alive and he leaves him there, he'll die and bleed out. So in that circumstance, you see, it's a difficult situation that the police find themselves in. Do we leave the body there or the person there, or do we try to seek medical attention? There's no answer to that, unfortunately. We have not found one. And I guess what I have to say is that, you know, the police must continue to do what they're doing, because there may be a chance that they may save the person's life. Mm-hmm. And we cannot stop that. I wouldn't want to stop that at all.
Okay.
The second question regarding... Can you just repeat the second question, please, sir?
I'll be real honest. I can't remember the second question. Oh, the Miranda rights. And whether or not those are... how do police here tell those rights to people who are being arrested?
Well, on arrest, you tell them you have the right to an attorney and that kind of stuff. So you get your caution, what we call their caution by the police. Once they're arrested, anything they say will be used against them or can be used against them in a court of law.
Mr. West, I know that our time is almost up this morning, and I may have to ask you to come back another time so we can have another discussion, because there is great interest by the public in your organization and what your organization can do for people. But as we end our discussion here this morning, can greater use of the PCA by the public automatically result in better policing? Because we've been having a discussion about policing and keeping police officers in check and the public's ability to assist in that regards. Can this work that way?
And my view would be, my answer would be yes, definitely. Because what happens is that when we get a complaint by a person, we do an investigation of the whole process, as I explained to you. So we can pick up where, for example, the police could have done something better, which may not actually be criminal or disciplinary, but it could just be done better. You understand? So what we do with that, we then make a recommendation, because under the Act, we can make a recommendation to the Commissioner of Police. And what we do is we can look at the investigation, which can lead to a recommendation from the PCA for consideration of disciplinary offenses or procedures against officers. So yes, I want to continue. I want to encourage the public, if they find something is wrong, that the police have mistreated them in some way, they can make a complaint. And their complaint will be looked at in a transparent manner, and also, too, I believe that they will get justice at the end of the investigation in terms of whether or not a complaint is valid or is not valid. Because when it's not valid, we give our reasons why your complaint was not taken to the next level.
Mm-hmm. And I guess there's just probably one final question. People making a report, is there a time frame within which one can expect that the PCA will deal with a matter, or are these investigations and these probes dependent on the nature of the allegation and how in-depth the investigation needs to be? Like, let's just say I come into the Police Complaints Authority this morning and I say, listen, this is my issue. Is there a time frame that within which I can expect the PCA to say, well, all right, we have something for you?
Right. So I'll answer that question. So for criminal matters, okay, now what do you have? You have matters that could only have a statutory period of 6 months. That's like common assault, obscene language, etc. We deal with those matters within 6 months. Well, actually within 4 months, because it needs to go to the DPP to decide whether or not charges are laid. So for those matters where it's a summary matter, we deal within 4 months. So yes, you can expect a hearing decision within 4 months. For other matters, for example, a police-involved shooting. That may take a little longer because we need to go out and get medical certificates from other institutions. We need to get the post-mortem report from the Forensic Science Center. We need to get sometimes CCTV footage, ballistic testing, etc. And that can take a long time. So the more complex a matter, the longer it will take. Mm-hmm. We don't want to rush to justice and get it wrong. We prefer to take our time and go through the process and get it right. So at the end of the day, both the police officer and the public, the civilian making the complaint, can feel justified or satisfied that we have done the best job we could have done and that they will be satisfied at the outcome of the investigation.
Yeah. All right, Mr. West, that's we're going to have to leave it. I know that our time is up. It's been up for a little while. But I appreciate the you accepting the invitation to come on the show this morning and demystify, for want of a different term, some of the issues surrounding the PCA. I think we need to have some more discussions moving into the new year so that the public has a greater awareness and understanding of the role and function and exactly what the PCA can and cannot achieve for them moving forward. That type of dialogue is important, especially when we are looking at some of the things taking place on a national scale. Mr. West, thank you so much for being our guest here this morning. And we wish you all the best for the season. Thank you once again.
Thank you very much. And I will be welcome to come back on the show anytime.
Okay, great. Thank you so much again this morning. That, of course, ladies and gentlemen, our special guest this morning. Our time was a bit brief. But of course, as you heard, we will have further discussions with PCA Director David West. I think as a nation, we need to, because when you have these types of discussions, a lot of things that are a bit in gray areas are clarified.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.